I can't believe that it's almost Christmas, that it's 1 week away, 1 week exactly from Christmas Day. I've got to confess that normally when I think Christmas, I relate cold weather. I relate sweaters and jackets. This being my first Christmas in Orlando, I'm not used to going into my house and decorating and putting trees with fake snow up when it's 70 degrees and I'm wearing shorts outside. I'm used to kind of going the day after Christmas with my dad and my brother, and we go play golf even though it's cold. I'm from Georgia, so it's a little colder. It's not ridiculously cold, but it's still colder than here. And we go out there and we swing the golf club, and I'm used to, if I don't hit it right, it's stinging my hand, and it's kind of miserable. And so I'm not complaining because I like the fact that in Orlando I can go out right now and I can play golf in 70-degree weather, and it's Christmas time. So I kind of like that. And Eric and I have actually swung the golf club quite a bit. You've taken me. We go back and forth quite a bit. Eric's a good golfer, so if you play, you got to play with Eric sometime. He's good. He's fun to play with. But let me pray with us before we begin tonight. As we look at the Christmas story, we're going to look at an aspect of the Christmas story tonight. Let me pray. God, we come. We come now and we ask, Lord, that you speak. You speak to our hearts. You speak to our minds. That, Holy Spirit, you would move. That you would, by your grace and by your mercy, teach, renew us, refresh us. Teach us for the first time possibly tonight what we've never understood in our hearts. So, God, we pray. Lord, I pray that despite my weakness, despite my sin, despite my frailty, that you would speak through me. I would be a mouthpiece for the exaltation of Christ and for your glory. So we pray that, knowing that your grace is in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I've been in Florida for about 6 months, and I've already somewhat become acquainted with hurricanes. And I know for y'all that have been in Florida, you're pretty well acquainted with hurricanes. But they kind of intrigue me a little bit. Hurricanes, that you're in a city, and there's peace, and there's rest, and there's order. And then all of a sudden, this hurricane comes ripping through your city, Category 4 hurricane, and just destroys and causes destruction and chaos and unrest and pain and loss. That a storm could do that. You know, I was reminded as I thought about this of New Orleans. And I know we were reminded very much of that as we saw it on the news, but I think we can forget it. I want to show just real quick some pictures of New Orleans before Hurricane Katrina. This is just the street. This is French Quarters, kind of the appearance of rest. That's the Jackson Quarters there. Keep going. That's from the Mississippi River. And that's the Natchez right there. So stop there. That is New Orleans before Katrina. The appearance of kind of peace, the appearance of beauty, of order. Now let's take a look at after Katrina. Chaos. I mean, swimming in the streets, boats everywhere, highways flooded, boats flipped up next to houses, destruction. I think that's it. And that right there, New Orleans, a city where now people are longing for their city to be restored back to those first lives we saw. People longing for restoration, to be restored back to peace and to order and to beauty. A people that are longing to be delivered from the pain and the loss and the sorrow that they've experienced. Christmas, 2005 years ago, when Christ came, he came to earth like New Orleans after Katrina. He came to an earth of chaos. He came to an earth of destruction, of disorder, no peace and no rest. He came to that. And he came in order to bring peace and rest and order to a destructive world. And so tonight, I want us to look at that. I want us to see that we as a people, that we as an earth, as humankind, we're in need desperately for restoration and deliverance. That before we knew Jesus Christ, our hearts were like that. Our hearts were unable to rest. And tonight, you may be at a place where you don't know Christ, and your hearts are like that tonight. St. Augustine said, our hearts find no rest until we rest in thee. Talking about Christ. And so Christ comes to bring restoration and deliverance. And we're going to see tonight that we're desperately in need of that. And that the greatest Christmas present ever was in the incarnation of Christ and him bringing restoration and deliverance. Bringing restoration and deliverance. We're going to look at a passage that you may be familiar with. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 38. If you have your Bible, you can open it up. If not, I think it's going to be on the screen. Luke 2, 25 to 38. A familiar passage, possibly, y'all. But let me read it for us as we look at the Word of God together. Luke 2, 25 to 38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God. And he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This narrative of Mary and Joseph, the mother and father of Jesus, bringing Jesus, who, 8 days old, what Scott just talked about. They were going into the temple to accomplish circumcision, what the law required, what we just saw happen in the new covenant, was bringing Jesus into the temple. And we're going to look at two people here in this narrative. We're going to look at Simeon, and we're going to look at Anna. We're going to kind of delve deeply and look at who are they, what's going on with Simeon, what's going on with Anna. The first person that I want us to look at, look with me in verses 25 to 32, is Simeon. We're going to look at Simeon. Simeon, what we see here, not much is known about Simeon or Anna anywhere else in Scripture. This is kind of the only place in Scripture that these two people are talked about. Simeon here and Anna. And Simeon, we see in verses 25 to 32 that obviously Simeon was a man. You get that from his name. But he was righteous and he was devout. It says that he was righteous and devout. And what this is referencing about Simeon is that he was a religious man. He was obedient to the law. He lived in accordance to the law. Now, a little side note here about Simeon. A lot of commentators, a lot of people think that Simeon here is representing in the coming of Christ being born into the earth, represents the salvation of man and the fulfillment of the law. The salvation of man and the fulfillment of the law. That's just a side note, but I thought that was interesting to add that. So he was righteous and he was devout. Then you see later on he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He had the promise that he would not die until he saw the Lord Christ. The main thing that I think we can learn and that I want us to learn tonight from Simeon is that when Christ comes, he brings restoration. That when Christ comes, he brings restoration. And when Christ came 2,005 years ago, he fulfilled the long-awaited coming. Now you see the whole Old Testament, we saw a couple weeks ago in Genesis 3:15, the promise that someone, a seed would come from Eve who would crush the head of the serpent. And so Genesis 3, through the whole Old Testament, the Israelites have the promise of the hope of a Messiah who would come and restore them back to creation. When sin entered into the world, chaos, destruction, what was intended at creation went to the wayside. And they had this hope, this promise that this Messiah would come and restore back thousands of years here in the Old Testament, thousands of years of this promise. Now, if you're familiar at all with Scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know the last prophet of the Old Testament was Malachi. And during the time from Malachi until this time when Christ was born, it's known as the 400 years of silence. So in the Old Testament, there's thousands of years of the promise to the Israelites that this Messiah, this Christ, would come. And then from Malachi to now, there's 400 years of silence. Silence, no prophets, and a lot of people believe no manifestation of the Spirit of God. So for 400 years, nothing. 1,000 years of promise, 400 years of silence. And here you have Simeon, a man who the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's rare, no spirit manifestation. And he's been given the promise that he would not die until he saw the Lord Christ. 1,000 years of promise, 400 years of silence, and now he's been promised that he would see the Lord Christ. I mean, talk about eager, talk about excited, talk about anticipating the coming of the Christ. I mean, he was excited, he was longing for it. I can remember Christmas as a child for me. I remember when I was 7 years old, Christmas for me was a time I knew December 25th what was happening. Santa was coming, and he was bringing my presents. I knew that was happening. Santa was coming and he was bringing my presents. And so when I was 7, I remember going to the mall and I got up on Santa's lap and Santa asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I told Santa, what I want is a blue mongoose bicycle. I want a blue mongoose bicycle. And Santa said, well, we'll see what we can do about that. And I took that as, he's going to bring me a blue mongoose bicycle. And so I had the promise of Santa that I was going to get the blue mongoose bicycle. And so a week until Christmas, and I was pumped. I was excited. I could not wait till Santa came and brought me my blue mongoose. And Christmas Eve rolled around, and I couldn't sleep. Could not sleep. I mean, I was waking up every hour. I was like, oh, was that? Was that Santa? Was that Santa? And I remember waking up, I remember waking up at 4 o'clock. I jumped up in my bed, and I was like, what's that? And I heard rustling around. I was like, it's Santa. My heart started beating all quick, and I kind of sat there all silent until I didn't hear anything else. And then it was silent. I was like, I waited a couple minutes, and I ran into Mom and Dad's room, opened the door because they were sleeping. Mom and Dad were sleeping, supposedly. And I tapped them on the shoulder. I said, Mom and Dad, Santa came. Santa came. And they kind of got up, and I ran into the living room, and there it was, the blue Mongo. What I'd been longing for. Now, I was 7 years old, waiting for my blue Mongos about a month. Think about Simeon. Think about the Israelites. Thousands of years, 400 years of silence. He was promised he would not die until he saw the Lord cry. And now, here comes the cry, and he meets. The long-awaited coming was fulfilled, and the coming of Christ, and Simeon's there. So we see that the long-awaited coming is fulfilled, but we also see that in the coming of Christ, the promise of the restoration is brought to earth. The promise of the restoration is brought to earth. If you look here in verse 25, it says Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that may be hard, and this don't lose me here as I get into this. This kind of gets heavy, but he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation, to console, means to comfort. It's referencing restoration. To comfort, to console, is to restore what has been lost. And what Simeon has in mind here is Isaiah chapter 40. Simeon has in mind the promise, the proclamation of the prophet Isaiah to Israel when they were in exile, when they were in Babylon. Let me read Isaiah 40 for you, 1 to 11, because this is what Simeon has in mind here when he's talking about the restoration. He's talking about the consolation of Israel. Isaiah 40, 1 to 11 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And a voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." This right here, this prophecy of Isaiah, is the consolation of Israel. This is what Simeon is longing for, the comfort of Israel, the restoration to restore back what was lost at the fall. Simeon has this promise. He would see the one who would come and bring about this restoration. Now, if you're not tracking with me, if you're not catching it quite yet, look at Jeremiah 4:23. I'm going to read this. This is Jeremiah who, he has a vision. A vision when he looks at Israel, the same as Isaiah when they were in exile. Jeremiah looks and he sees Israel, and this is what he said. "I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens, and their light was gone." Does that sound familiar at all? From Genesis 1:2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "In the beginning, God looked over the earth, and it saw that it was dark, and it was formless." But what was hovering over the waters at that time? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And in Genesis 1:3, what does God say? It says, "Let there be light." And he created order, peace, beauty, rest, man and woman in his image. And in Genesis 3, what happened? The fall. Sin came in. All that was created, destroyed. Or disrupted, not destroyed. Disorder. No rest. No. And what Jeremiah and Isaiah are pointing us to, and what we have here in the coming of Christ, and that we see in Simeon. For Simeon, listen to Simeon's song. Simeon's song here, see how familiar it is to what Isaiah was saying. Simeon says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people." So what Simeon is saying here, what we see here, is 2,005 years ago, what was formless and dark, what Jeremiah is saying was formless and dark, was before creation. And in the same way Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light." What we see here in Simeon's song is, "I have seen your light. I am doing a new creation. I am recreating what was lost because of the fall." Are you catching that? This right here, the coming of Christ, this is the greatest Christmas present. The restoration of what was lost. The restoration of what was lost. Now, you may be sitting there and you may be going, "All right, Christ and his coming brings restoration. He restores all that was lost at the fall. And there's no more peace, no more disorder. But I look and I see hurricane, and I see pain, I see struggle, I see death, I see divorce. I mean, what's that? I don't see restoration there. Well, I don't know if Simeon knew fully, but we do, because we see this, that in the promise of the restoration that Christ was bringing, it came in stages. It comes in waves. When Christ came here in His first coming, He brings restoration. He restores hearts that have gone astray. And He restores some order and some peace to our own hearts through Christ. But we, like Simeon, have a promise, don't we? We have a promise that we also will see the Christ who will come again. And when Christ comes again in that second coming, He will restore all. He will restore everything completely. And so our hope this Christmas, as we look at the first coming of Christ, God even mentioned at the beginning, that we look at the first coming of Christ, and it causes us to look forward to His second coming when everything will be restored. When everything will be restored. So my question to you this Christmas is, do you hope? Are you longing? I know you're experiencing the pains and the disorder and the chaos of this world, but are you hoping in the coming of Christ to bring ultimate restoration? That day will come when He will come again and everything will be made new. He is making a new creation right now, and one day it'll be complete. That's our hope this Christmas. That's what we see in the coming of Christ 2005 years. That's what we see in Simeon. And so Simeon, we see that Christ in His coming brings restoration. He brings restoration. And tonight, you may be longing like Simeon. And my prayer is that you are longing like Simeon. God, restore. Restore my heart. Restore my marriage. Restore my family. Restore this world that has fallen because of sin that is everywhere and so easily entangled. Restore. That's my prayer for me and for you, that we would long for that, and that we would see Christ restoring us now and looking forward to the day when He restores completely. So in Simeon, we see that. In Anna, let's look at Anna now. In Anna, in verses 36 to 38, we see Anna. Look, she's obviously from her name as well. We see she's a woman. Anna is a woman. Anna, it says she's a prophetess. Another side note here. Simeon, man, law, devout. As I was saying, He's the salvation of man, the fulfillment of the law. Here we have Anna, a woman, and a prophet. And a lot of people believe it's the promise of the salvation of woman and the fulfillment of the prophet. So just a side note, in the short little narrative right here, the richness of it is that in the coming of Christ, we have the salvation of man and woman and the fulfillment of the law and the prophet. That's rich to see right here. So we see Anna as a prophetess. We also see that Anna was old. We see that. We see that she lived with her husband. She was married for 7 years. And then said she was widowed until she was 84 years old. She was widowed until she was 84 years old. And says she never left the temple, but she worshipped night and day. She fasted and she prayed night and day. That's Anna. And from Anna, what I want us to learn is that Christ comes to bring deliverance. Christ comes to bring deliverance. Simeon, Christ comes to bring restoration to what's been lost. Anna, Christ comes to bring deliverance. And Christ comes to those who are seeking to be delivered. Christ comes to those who are seeking to be delivered. Anna, old. She was married for 7 years, and then she was widowed until she was 84 years old. So at least 50 years, she was a widow. At least 50 years. Now, I know I cannot relate to Anna. I can't. I'm not even married. And so I can't relate fully to Anna, but I was talking to Scott about 2 weeks ago, and just telling him as I looked at Christ Kingdom Church and the makeup of our church, amazed at the sovereignty of God that He would ordain so many of y'all that I know who can relate to Anna. Many of y'all who have lost husbands and are widowed and can relate to her. And so you can understand a little bit of what Anna is going through. But a lot of us have lost someone who we're close to, whether it be a friend or family member. We've lost someone who we're close to. And I imagine Anna, this just deep hurt, deep pain, lonely, frustrated, confused, not really knowing what's going on. Hurt and in her pain, what does she do? Anna goes into the temple. She worships at night, fasting and praying. She is actively seeking the only one that can deliver. She is actively seeking the only one that she knows that will deliver her from pain and from sorrow and from hurt and deliver her from this fallen world that took her husband from her. That she sought the Lord, the sovereign Lord, the deliverer. Anna actively sought the only one that can. And you may not be in the same situation as Anna, but my prayer, and prayerfully, we see in Scripture that we will seek the great deliverer only when we see our great need. That we will seek the great deliverer only when we see our great need. So my question to you during the Christmas time is, do you see your great need? Do you see pain? Do you see the sin of your own heart? Do you see the pain that is in this world? Does it cause you to cry out, why? What's going on? It causes you to seek deliverance from the only one that can deliver you out of this fallen and sinful world and deliver you and usher you into His peace, His rest, His comfort, and His joy. He is the great deliverer. So we see that Christ comes to those who are seeking, and He comes to bring deliverance. He comes to bring deliverance. Anna, worshiping night and day, fasting and praying. And at the very moment, it says here in 37, at the very moment of when Simeon embraces Christ and he sings that song, Anna walks up at the same moment. Look here, coming up to him at the very moment, verse 38, she gave thanks to God and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. To all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption here is referring to deliverance. As consolation, Simeon was looking for the consolation, refers to restoration of Israel. Here, Anna speaks of the redemption of Jerusalem because she was looking for deliverance out of this world, out of the sin, out of the pain. She was longing to be delivered. And we see that here. I thought of redemption, deliverance. I mean, you think of redeemable coupons. What do? You purchase something, you have redeemable coupons, you turn them back in. What do they do? They deliver you from the debt you've incurred. So redemption is delivering you out of a state. And so Anna here is seeking to be redeemed out of this state of sin, the state of pain, the state of sorrow, and she's seeking it in the only one that can deliver. You know, I had a very good friend who had everything going for him, according to the world standard. Very, very good friend. He was in med school. He had an orthopedic residency spot set up in Atlanta, Georgia. And in his toward the end of his third year of med school, fell into the addiction of the party scene and became addicted to drugs and to alcohol. And he lost his residency, and he left med school. And for a year, my friend went to rehab, and he kind of put on the show, but he didn't see his need to be delivered from this addiction. He kind of medicated it, put on a facade, played the role for a year. And by the grace of God, and after that year passed, the Lord just broke him. And he saw, because of the number of times of almost being killed, saw his great need to be delivered from this addiction. And he started attending AA meetings twice a week. And I went with him to an AA meeting, and as I sat around and I saw men and women who all saw this great need to be delivered, as they confessed their struggles, they confessed their sin, they confessed their addiction, and they cried together, and they laughed together, they rejoiced in each other's victories. And sadly to say, it reminded me much of what the church should be like, and much of what the church is not. And as they sat there, and they triumphed with one another, and they shouted, and they cried out with one another, and they actively sought deliverance from this pain and this addiction that they were going through. And my good friend, through this time, and through this actively seeking, was delivered to the praise of the grace of God, was delivered out of his addiction. And he no longer is buying into the lie that satisfies. And I'm sure it's a temptation for him still, but he was delivered from it. He was delivered from it. And I don't know in my prayer if you see, but my prayer is that you would see that Christ in his coming came for this express purpose to deliver us from our addiction, to deliver us from what we cling to deliver us from our sin in this fallen world. He came to deliver us. 2,005 years. But Anna, probably like Simeon, we don't know, may not have known that the deliverance and the restoration of what Christ was bringing came in stages. As I said, in the restoration, there was an already and a not yet aspect. There's an already, the kingdom of God is restored already to some degree, but there's a not yet. It's not full. And Anna here, looking for the deliverance, we know, don't we, that it is not complete. We're not completely delivered from sin, from struggle, from the fallen world. We're not. But in the coming of Christ, we know that we have an already aspect. We have already been delivered in some way. In some ways, we've already been delivered. For those that are in Christ and have their faith in Jesus Christ, and they place that in Him, we've been delivered, brothers and sisters, from the sin penalty. We no longer are guilty. We've been released and delivered from the penalty of sin. Romans 8:1 says, for those that are in Christ, there's no condemnation according. And there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's none. We've been delivered from sin's penalty. We've also been delivered in the first coming of Christ. We've been delivered from sin's power. Before Christ, before putting our faith in Christ, we had no choice but to bow to sin as man. No choice but to bow to sin as man. But if we placed our faith in Christ, we bow to Christ. We've been delivered from that. But there's a not yet aspect. We still struggle. We still fall into sin. I do daily. We fall. We live in a fallen world. And we know that in the second coming of Christ, we have the promise of complete deliverance, when we will be delivered from sin's presence. Sin's presence will be wiped away. And the new creation that he's creating will be a new heavens and a new earth where no sin exists, and there's peace, and there's rest, and there's order. That, I pray that resonates with y'all's heart tonight. That you would see that in the first coming of Christ, we have deliverance and we have restoration, but it's not yet complete. It is not yet complete. But we have the promise, like Simeon and like Anna, we long for the day when it will be complete, when it will be restored completely and it will be delivered. That's our hope during this Christmas time. We're in need. We are in need, brothers and sisters, we are in need to be delivered. And the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his first coming, the greatest Christmas present, restoration and deliverance. Restoration and deliverance. And so my kind of challenge to y'all, my challenge to myself at Christmas is to be like Simeon, to be like Anna. Be like Simeon and be like Anna. Be like Simeon. Or you may be here tonight, and for the first time, you need to come to Simeon. Like Simeon, you need to come to Christ and you need to embrace him for the first time. For the first time, you need to embrace him and experience rest and peace in your heart. For our hearts will find no rest until we embrace you. For the first time, you may need to embrace him. And you may be here tonight and you're experiencing the effects of the fall on this world and in your life. And you know something is just not right. This, you, in your heart, you go, this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like this. I pray, in my prayer to us, is look to Christ, because it's not supposed to be. He is making a new creation. He is recreating what was lost in the fall. So look to Christ. And in his second coming, it will be, all will be made new. All will be made new. And as we look to his second coming, like Simeon, may we be reminded, as we've already learned in Genesis, that we, his image bearers, are right now in the process of restoring. Through us, we are his vessels. He is restoring this world through us right now until that time when he comes and restored completely. So be like Simeon. Also be like Anna. Be like Anna. You may be here tonight and you've never come to Jesus Christ and you're bound to sin. You're guilty under the curse of the law. You're guilty. And you're bowing to sin as master. You've got, I'm addicted. I've struggled with this. I've got no choice. And you're bound to it. Say, come to Christ tonight and by faith, pray and receive Christ and be set free and delivered from the power of sin and the penalty. You may be here tonight and you just struggle. You're struggling with some sins, and I've been there a lot this semester. Struggling with sins that just won't, I just can't kind of kick. It's a habit. I just can't kick a sin. I keep falling back into it. And you need to be reminded tonight that sin's not your master if you believe in Jesus. Sin is not your master. You don't bow to master sin. You bow to master Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's delivered you. You need to be reminded of that. And we also need to look forward to the second coming of Christ when we will be delivered from sin's presence. And that should give us a hope. We should be like Simeon, eager and anticipating the return of Christ, as it says in Scripture, like watchmen on the watchtower, looking for our great Lord to come back again and to set up the new heavens and the new earth, when everything will be restored and delivered. And so my prayer is, as we do that, our response will be like Simeon and Anna. What? How was their response? Simeon embraced Christ. He lifted him up and he praised God. So, and Anna went and it says, thank God, and told everybody about it. That as we look to the second coming of Christ, that we would worship because we've seen the first coming. And we would worship longing for that day when he comes again. And we will be ready. We will not be asleep, but we will be ready when he comes. And that great day of worship will happen when every knee will bow. Every knee, believer or unbeliever, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And that's when he will set it up finally and completely. The new heavens and the new earth, complete restoration, complete. Let me pray for you. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you would give us this hope. Lord, this is something that we can sit here and talk about and we can know it in our minds and we can celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas, but we've lost hope or we have seen the destruction and the chaos and we see there's no rest and there's no order. But Lord, we know that in the coming of Christ, he brings restoration and he brings deliverance, but it's not complete, Lord. It is not complete. And so my prayer is that this Christmas time, God, we would not just look to the manger and just kind of glory in the manger. Yes, we would look to the manger and rejoice that Christ came, but oh God, compel us to look beyond the manger. And to look to when the Christ, who became flesh and dwelt among us, will come again riding on a horse victorious. And he will set up his rule and his reign in the new heavens and the new earth, and all will be made new. Oh God, will that be our hope this Christmas? Would we glory that we receive this Christmas time in the incarnation of Christ, restoration and deliverance? I pray even tonight, God, there's some here that need to be restored and some that need to be delivered. We all need that. So would you do that? I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.